Good morning, everyone. We are going to get started. You guys are right on time. If you haven't grabbed one and you want one, there's handouts in the back. I had a few extra folders from last week that people didn't pick up. So if you need a folder or you weren't here last week, feel free to grab them. And then grab a pen and an index card. And if you've got a question or you've got a topic that you want us to discuss during this time, write it down, because I think what we're going to find is time is going to really get away from us. So if we don't prioritize what we want to talk about, it's probably not going to get done. So write those down, hand them to me, leave them in your seats, and we can talk about that in an upcoming lesson. And then real quick, I want to do a two-minute review of what we talked about last week, and then we'll get into what we have for this week. But last week, we started off talking about joy. That this is a joyful topic, that ethnic harmony, as we read our Bible, we see what the Bible says in Revelation 5 and Revelation 7, where we see this vast multitude. John can't even number them, and they're worshiping Jesus Christ together, unity in diversity, every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. So we know that's where things are going, even if now in the interim, things aren't always so great, and things are bumpy, and this is a touchy and tough subject. And then we looked at the video, and Dr. Ware, he emphasized things like discipleship, that that's foundational to a topic like this if we're going to make change, that we need to walk with each other through Scripture, submitting to Scripture and what it says on the topic. And the outcome of a training like this, Dr. Ware was saying, was that it should push us to love God and love our neighbor more. And if it's not doing that, we've really missed the point. We're not grappling with what Scripture says. And then what we spent the most amount of time talking about was the gospel, that we want to start there. We never want to stray from this unifying biblical push towards Jesus Christ. That's where we can't disagree. That's a non-negotiable. We have to agree there. And as we dialogue and have conversation, we might find areas where we disagree. And that's okay. Not everything is going to be perfect or on the same page, but we can't disagree when it comes to the gospel. And we didn't talk about this, but Dr. Ware talked a lot about the gospel, and we'll talk about it today, being the solution to these different divides, being the solution to our real problem, which is a sin problem. And just one thing I wanted to bring up before we pray is, you know, if we look at the doctrine of justification by faith alone, and we look at a familiar passage like Philippians 3, we see Paul writing about how this doctrine cuts to the heart of ethnic sin, cuts to the heart of a lot of the problems that we see today. In Philippians 3, Paul is writing about all these different advantages that he has. He writes that he was circumcised on the eighth day. That's a religious advantage. Then he writes about a lot of these ethnic advantages that he has. He's of the people of Israel. He's of the tribe of Benjamin. He's a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Then he talks about him being a Pharisee. He's got this educational advantage where he was trained, you know, by the very best, knew the law really, really well. Even his personality, he was very zealous, so zealous that he was a persecutor of the church. And as to righteousness under the law, he was blameless. So we see he had a moral advantage too. But all of these different advantages, they didn't bring him closer to Christ. They actually kept him far from Christ. And he writes in Philippians 3 that for his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. So that's where we started. That's where we spent a lot of time. We want to kind of come back to the gospel over and over again as we navigate this topic. So that's a little bit of review. Let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to serve you. We want to stay faithful to you, to your word. We want your word to guide us and frame this discussion. We pray this morning that your son would be elevated, your son would be magnified, and that our discussion would glorify you in all we do. I pray for all of this in your name. Amen. All right, so this morning, I want to start off by talking about a really, really important topic. Macaroni and cheese. So think with me, when you think of the best, like the classic, the go-to macaroni and cheese, when you maybe were a kid, think about, you know, what does that bring to your mind? What was that? There you go. What I've learned in my 10, almost 11 years of marriage is that Leanne and I, we have different definitions of what's like the superior, classic, store-bought box mac and cheese. And if I've learned anything about marriage, it's always good to bring your problems to the front and have a public vote on it. So that's what we're going to do today. Hopefully you all can help us solve this issue. So I need full participation. One of these is the right answer. I know you can do it. You can do the right answer. So raise your hand. If when you think of the classic, superior, go-to box mac and cheese, who thinks it's this craft one? Raise your hands. Okay, I don't like where this is going. raise your hand if it's the Velveeta. Thank you. Okay. It was like kind of close. You may have won this one, but I've got four more lessons to take those on. So the point I'm trying to make, this is not really a great analogy, but my point is, that words and definitions mean different things to different people. It can convey different things depending on the context. And communication can be very, very challenging, especially along a topic that's emotionally charged, a topic that can be tough to talk about and divisive. And so we as Christians, we want to be intentional with how we talk. We want to be purposeful. We want the way we talk to line up with Scripture. So I think that leads into this discussion question that Dr. Ware it was on the handout last week. We just didn't have time to discuss it, but I think we can bring it up now. It says, Dr. Ware refers to skin shade, darker or lighter hue rather than color. What's significant about that choice of language? What are some areas that you need to be more intentional about in your language? So I'm sure you noticed that. I had three or four conversations during the week, and almost all of them brought this up, that Dr. Ware, when he talks, he doesn't say white or black typically. He says things like lighter hue and darker hue. And I think he's doing that on purpose to prove a point. Obviously got a lot of our attention. And I think what he's trying to put forth is that when he talks about things like race, he wants to be biblical. And much of the way it's used today is really not coming from a biblical worldview. And when he uses terms like darker hue and a lighter hue, he's emphasizing that we're all one race, like the Bible says, that there's one human race, and because of that, we're all made in the image of God, and because of that, you know, we're all in Adam and corrupted by a sin nature. So I think he's trying to push back against the way things like race are typically discussed today. Because when you hear race today, normally it's talking about physical traits, things like skin color or hair texture or facial features. And a huge issue with that term is that, you know, we know this, it's a social construct, it's not really based in science, and it was used historically to justify things like slavery, to say that some people are less human than other people, and some humans are superior and of a superior race than other humans. So we don't want to use those kind of terms in that way. And you'll hear Dr. Ware talk about it this way, but a better way to, when you're talking about things like we typically think of when we say race, a better term is a term like ethnicity. And then that's probably what most of us mean when we say race and ethnicity. Instead of focusing primarily on physical features, it takes the whole culture into equation. Things like, you know, the kind of food you eat, the way you dress, the way you talk. It does include, you know, things like geography and physical features, but that's not really the driving force. And so one quick example, if we think about African Americans in the United States, that's an ethnic group. And then a few weeks ago, Leanne and I and our family, we were on vacation, spent a little time in the Caribbean, and we were in the Bahamas, and we saw a lot of people that shared a lot of physical traits with African Americans, but they were not African American, they're African Caribbean. And as you talk to these people, you see it's a very different culture, different way they talk, different kind of food that they eat. And so those are different ethnicities, even though they share a lot of the same physical traits. And along those same lines, I wanted to recommend a few books over the course of each week. And one book that I have found helpful, it's called The New Reformation by Shai Lin. And what he does in this short book, I like it because it's short, it's like 200 pages. The audiobook's like 5 or 6 hours, very easy to listen to. And what he does is he looks at this topic through the lens of the five solas of the Reformation. He looks at it through the lens of justification by faith alone. He includes a lot about his personal lived experience, which I think is really unique. He's a black guy who was saved as a young adult and then found himself in a white Presbyterian Reformed church, and kind of talks through his experience that I think we all could learn from a little bit. And he talks about things like, how does he wrestle with, you know, these Puritans that he loves, Jonathan Edwards, and his really good theology, but he also was a slaveholder. And he talks about those kind of things and comes to a really good conclusion. So I want to recommend this book. You might not agree with every single application he makes or where he's coming from in every single instance, but I think you would agree on 98% of what he writes. And one thing he writes, I included in your handout, he talks about being intentional with communication as well and using biblical categories when you speak. That we don't want to borrow from the culture, and even terms like racism, they don't really have a lot of meaning. You've got people all the way over here that think everything that anyone does is racially motivated all the time. And then you've got people over here that would say, well, racism's kind of dead. We don't experience any racism. We took care of that, you know, after slavery, after Jim Crow. And so people can be talking past each other without really engaging in any meaningful conversation. And so what Shai Lin does is he breaks down racism into six different subgroups. And he talks about things like ethnic hatred. And he uses a biblical example like that. That's Jonah and the Assyrians. That's what we think of when we think of the KKK neo-Nazis. That's what most of us probably think about when we think about racism. But he also talks about ethnic partiality. Things like we see in Galatians 2 with Peter, when Paul rebuked Peter and said, hey, you're not living in step with the truth of the gospel. Talks about things like ethnic neglect. So we don't have time to go through this morning, but I would encourage you, grab this piece of paper on your way, if you didn't grab one when you came in, read through it, because I think it's helpful to think about things specifically, not to make these broad, generalized statements, but to drill down. And I'll go ahead and I'm going to read his conclusion here. And this is taken, this is an excerpt from his book, so it's a little preview of his book that you can find online for free. But his conclusion to this is, it should be plain to see that each of these sins is, at the root, a failure to love neighbor as self. And they also cover a range wide enough to indict most of us. I suspect that the Christian who balks at the possibility of being a racist would look at this list and see temptations that have gripped their own hearts. And praise be to God that the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to cover these sins as well. I believe that this kind of specificity will serve us as we dialogue on these issues in the church. And so with that, we're going to pivot over to Dr. Ware for the next few minutes here.
Well, praise God. We are working through what we call six sessions of the grace. God bless you. Thank you.
You're enjoying hearing from Dr. Ware. I know when he talks, I feel very encouraged when he talks. Does someone mind getting the lights over there? And I'm also challenged. I think he does a great job navigating and staying faithful to God's word. We've got a few minutes left here. I want to ask one of the questions that's in your handout and maybe hear from some of you. But I think it's a good question that we can apply to our lives. We see it all the time on social media, like he was saying. Why might an immediate theological debate not be the best approach in every situation? What do you guys think? Any thoughts, any ideas?
I was gonna say, just like you can't argue anyone into salvation, yeah, just believing the Holy Spirit has to do a work. So I think that's why prayer, like you said, just listening and praying for that person is the way to prepare someone's heart to change.
Yeah, I think that's good. I'm speaking in my own life, I don't pray enough about this when I disagree with someone. I'm always thinking about my thought, what I want them to think. Jonathan?
I think of maybe two things. One is, like what Sharon said, there's blindness. Like, there's spiritual blindness. So it'd be like asking a blind person to navigate an obstacle course, to try to dive into theology that the Spirit of God has to be active in moving in their heart to make them see the reality of those spiritual things. And the other thing is that I think you run into a lot of folks that have a sort of trauma response because of things that they've experienced, whether from the church, from believers, or just in their lives in general. I don't know that we give, especially within the church, I don't know that we give enough space for people to be expressing trauma responses from things that have happened in their lives. And so sometimes that's a first level wall that has to carefully be dismantled before you can get to spiritual truth that would rest in your heart rather than just bouncing off this wall. And those two things are probably related, because the Spirit of God also has to be active in somebody processing and dealing biblically with trauma in their life.
No, I think that's great. I think that's wisdom there, where so many people have had a bad experience. It might, you know, and if you're just jumping in with that theological debate, you might not be doing any favors. And Dr. Ware, he mentioned James 1, James 3. It's these ideas to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Because when we're angry, that anger of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. And then him going through James 3, we're seeing the posture, open to reason, full of mercy, gentleness, peace. And then he contrasts that with that demonic wisdom that's really all about selfish ambition, bitter jealousy, that we want to prove our point in that moment, and that leads to disorder, leads to chaos. It's not going to be constructive. And then one other thing that I saw, or that I heard Dr. Ware say, that I think is worth mentioning, he mentioned it really fast, but he talked about lamenting, and sometimes I think that might be the answer in certain situations for a certain time, to lament with brothers and sisters in Christ. And something, as I was thinking about it, I don't do it well. I struggle with it because it seems really emotional. It doesn't seem theological. But I think the more you think about it, it actually is deeply, deeply theological. And we read, I think, a third of our Psalms are Psalms of Lament. We have a book called Lamentations about lamenting. And we could do well to learn to lament with other people, kind of reconciling this emotional response with a theological, doctrinal response. Because I think we've all been on the other side of it. When something really terrible has happened in your life, and there's well-meaning people, well-intentioned people, and they're trying to make it better, and they kind of do too much. And what lamenting prioritizes are things like praying with them, just being there, listening to them for this moment. And maybe later on, you do address some different things, but maybe not in that specific moment. And an example that I came across in my life, I'm a physical therapist. I go to people's homes for therapy. And so I usually spend 2 or 3 hours a week with them. I get to know them over the course of 2 or 3 months. And one lady who was of the darker hue, as Dr. Ware would say, this was, I don't know, 4 or 5 months after the murder of George Floyd. And she was kind of telling me what was on her heart, what was on her mind. And she said she was with a friend. They were watching TV, and, you know, it's all over the news. And she mentioned that this was something she was processing, a hurtful response. And she told me the other person, that the response was, well, you know, this guy, he had drugs in his system. He kind of had it coming. And in that moment, not a good response. Wasn't edifying, wasn't lamenting with that person. And trying to think about it from my perspective, last week I talked about Jaden, this thoughtful kid, smart kid, very self-aware. The next two children in line, Jackson and Jordan, are younger. They're not quite as self-aware. They're not quite as thoughtful. And we're always telling them, like, think about what you do before you do it. And part of that is they're 2 and 4. But usually, once a year, knock on wood, it hasn't happened this year, we're going to take a trip to the ER or urgent care, and we're going to get stitches because Jackson's doing something he's not supposed to do. And he knows it. And we tell him, don't run so fast around this corner. And he does it. But in that moment, when his head is cut open and he's bleeding, the answer is not, hey, told you that would happen. It's not a 20-minute lecture about obeying your parents and the Lord for this is right, right? And even though I want to say that, it's really about comfort. He's scared. He's hurt. He's crying. And then maybe you later can address some things that need addressing. So I like that he mentioned that as something I don't think we do well with each other, or I don't do well with others. So application in our closing time here, things that Dr. Ware was saying, I hope you're engaging with a Grace Relations Journal. Each week I'm trying to print out a copy of the passage that he mentions that you can pray through, meditate on, write how the Spirit is working in your life. And I like that he mentioned that. Successes, good things that happen, how God has answered prayer, he's writing down in that journal so he can reflect on it and come back to it. Practice James 1 and James 3 in our conversations. Be intentional with communication. Your words mean stuff and probably convey more than you want them to mean at some time. So be intentional about it. Avoid these polarizing all statements. All white people or all black people, or to apply it to politics, it's not all Democrats or all Republicans. I think we run into a lot of trouble when we do things like that. And then lastly, lamenting is biblical and deeply theological. Learn to lament with others who are hurting. We are out of time this morning. If there's something you want to talk about, write it down on an index card because I want to make sure that we address it in upcoming lessons. But let's go ahead and we will close out in prayer. Heavenly Father, you have been so good to us that we have your word. We have so many resources, so many people that point us to you. I pray that we would be discerning in how we communicate, with how we handle these topics that are so divisive. We know your word has answers. I pray that we would be people who would go to your word, that we would be people in prayer, that we would pray often for the activity of your Spirit in our church, in the greater Charleston area, as we want to serve you and please you, Lord. I pray that we'd be people that live by James 1 and James 3. We would be people who hurt with other people, and we would point them to you, Lord. Pray this morning, as we're about the transition to our worship service, that your Son would be magnified and glorified in a great way. Pray for all this in your name. Amen. Amen.